Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Happy Saturday, April 30th. I'm reading again from Exodus chapter 28, verses 15 through 30. This is about the breastpiece or the breastplate, as it says in some versions, that the priest would wear. Then Psalm 123, which is a gripping psalm that reminds us of our dependence upon the Lord for His provision. And then Romans 16, which Amanda and I agreed was one of our favorite passages. I love it because we hear about Phoebe, and she said that she loved it because there is mention of seven women who are serving alongside Paul. So we're looking forward to reading that passage today. Exodus chapter 28, starting in verse 15. Fashion a breastpiece for making decisions, the work of skilled hands. Make it like the ephod, of gold and of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and of finely twisted linen. It is to be square, a span long and a span wide, and folded double. Then mount four rows of precious stones on it. The first row shall be carnelian, chrysolite, and beryl. The second row shall be turquoise, lapis lazuli, and emerald. The third row shall be jacinth, agate, and amethyst. The fourth row shall be topaz, onyx, and jasper. Mount them in gold filigree settings. There are to be 12 stones, one for each of the names of the sons of Israel, each engraved like a seal with the name of the one of the 12 tribes. For the breastpiece, make braided chains of pure gold, like a rope. Make two gold rings for it and fasten them to two corners of the breastpiece. Fasten the two gold chains to the rings at the corners of the breastpiece, and the other ends of the chains to the two settings, attaching them to the shoulder pieces of the ephod at the front. Make two gold rings and attach them to the other two corners of the breastpiece on the inside edge next to the ephod. Make two more gold rings and attach them to the bottom of the shoulder pieces in front of the ephod, close to the seam just above the waistband of the ephod. The rings of the breastpiece are to be tied to the rings of the ephod with blue cord, connecting it to the waistband, so that the breastpiece will not swing out from the ephod. Whenever Aaron enters the holy place, he will bear the names of the sons of Israel over his heart on the breastpiece of decision as a continuing memorial before the Lord. Also put the Urim and the Thummim in the breastpiece, so that they may be over Aaron's heart whenever he enters the presence of the Lord. Thus Aaron will always bear the means of making decisions for the Israelites over his heart before the Lord. Before we move on, I just want to imagine the picture with you. This sort of breastplate that has all these different gems in rows of three, and there are four rows, and all these different colors. And then there's this little mysterious addition about the Urim and Thummim. Have you ever heard of those? Well, if you haven't heard much about them, that's okay. They're mentioned in Leviticus and Numbers, Deuteronomy once, 1 Samuel a couple of times, and then in Ezra and Nehemiah. But we do not know much about them. I was reading in the New Bible Dictionary about them, and it says, in association with the office of the high priest, God made a provision for giving guidance to his people. But almost everything, however, about this provision remains unexplained. So we don't know exactly what these two little things look like. I always imagine them being kind of like dice, like you roll a dice and it kind of like tells the oracle of God. But here, there's an explanation that's plausible. It says, it is extremely difficult, if not impossible, to offer a coherent suggestion on the basis of the evidence. They've talked about different scriptures. It says, H.H. Rowley conjectures that Urim gives the negative answer and Thummim gives the affirmative, and on that assumption, the Urim and the Thummim were two flat objects, each with a yes side and each with a no side. Then they would be taken and tossed out of a pouch or something, and then you would be able to see yes or no from God. I don't really know. It's interesting to think, but here we see that the Israelites are given some kind of provision for receiving a word from the Lord. Okay, let's move on to the Psalms now. Psalm 123. I want to prep us for listening to this psalm by reading an excerpt from the study Bible that I'm looking at, the Jeremiah study Bible. It says this: the writer looks expectantly to God as a servant or a slave looks to the hand of their master or mistress. The hand is used as a metaphor for provision. Slaves were fully dependent on their masters to meet their needs, and the psalmist is in a position of humble expectation as he awaits God's provision of help. Have you ever been there? You didn't know the next step. You didn't know how the Lord would provide, and you just turn your eyes to the Lord. This is a psalm for that season, a song of ascents. I lift up my eyes to you who sit enthroned in heaven. As the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a female slave look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, till he shows us his mercy. Have mercy on us, Lord, have mercy on us, for we have endured no end of contempt. We have endured no end of ridicule from the arrogant, of contempt from the proud. And now let's move over to the book of Romans. Today we're in Romans chapter 16. The title says, Personal Greetings. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church of Cenchrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people, and to give her any help she may need from you. For she has been a benefactor of many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risk their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow Jews who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, whose fidelity to Christ has stood the test. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet those in the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Petrobus, Hermas, and the other brothers and sisters with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nerus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the Lord's people who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I rejoice because of you. But I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Timothy, my co-worker, sends his greetings to you, as does Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, my fellow Jews. I, Tertullus, who wrote down this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, whose hospitality I and the whole church here enjoy, sends you his greetings. Erastus, who is the city's director of public works, and our brother, Quartus, send you their greetings. Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden from long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to obedience that comes from faith. To the only wise God be glory forever through Christ Jesus. Amen. And we do glorify the Lord with Paul. What a beautiful end to the letter, reminding us that faith leads to obedience, that we come to the Lord Jesus in faith, and then we seek to obey him with our lives. As I look back over the list of people, I don't know that this is my favorite passage anymore because they were very difficult to read, but I was thinking about all the different things that Paul said about his brothers and sisters in Christ and wondering what I would like for others to say about me. Here are some of the ways he speaks of his brothers and sisters: those who work hard in the Lord, those whose fidelity to Christ has stood the test, a mother to me. One more, let's see here. My co-worker. Lord, help us today to be co-workers for the gospel. Help us to be mothers and sisters and brothers to one another. Help us, Lord, to fight for the gospel's sake. Help us, Lord, to be a people who work very hard for the gospel. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the reminder that it is by grace we have been saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Help us to be like the psalmist in 123. We turn to you in dependence. We do not know, Lord, how to go forward in some situations, and we pray for your mercy to abound. Lord, sometimes we wish for the ermine and thermine, whatever those things are. We would love to know more clearly your way. But we thank you, Lord, that instead of those two little dice, we have your word, which is a light to our path. It helps us to know which way to go. And so we pray, Lord, that as we learn more about your word, you would continue to teach us about the ways to go. We love you, Lord, and we pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.